gather round. I'm glad everybody came out tonight. As we stand on our neighborhood corner, know that this fire that's burning represents the passion you have. Listen. I recognize all of you, every creed and color. With that being said,
we had,
say what?
Now beat that.
Oh, yeah!
Now what we want you all to do is sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. And if you dig it, let me hear your finger snap, y'all.
Now, before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Okay, I'll reload it.
From the sports bars to the stands, we are the voice of the fans. You are now plugged into your sports mixtape. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house, and we are presenting to you the Ball Street Journal with your Ball Street Journal reporters, D, Ron, Trey, and myself, Floyd. Fellas, how you doing?
Doing absolutely fantastic, as always. Really looking forward to having a great guest on the show. So without further ado, let me quickly throw it over to my man, Ronnie. How you doing?
Stepping into the world of reality TV and sports here on the Section 357 show, Gloria Govan, wife of LA Clipper Matt Barnes, and formerly of Basketball Wives, is in the building with us today to talk a little bit about the life of being in sports on the family side of things. But before we bring her into the conversation, I'm at Floyd out there somewhere between Bankhead and Camp Creek. How you doing, man?
As always, guys, feeling good, feeling great. Always a pleasure and a privilege to have this conversation with you all and to share that with our fans. As you mentioned, Gloria Govan is joining us to speak about the reality of reality TV and maybe even some of the great things that she has going on outside of that. Gloria, how are you doing?
Hi. Hi, guys. I'm doing really well. And I just wanted, you know, first of all, just say thank you so much for having me. I really, really am excited. And like I said, I'm an open book. I'm doing well. And I'm excited to, you know, answer any questions you guys may have.
Well, let's start at the very beginning, Gloria. A lot of people have had a chance to get to know you and your family on the shows, Basketball Wives, as well as Basketball Wives LA. But let's start at the beginning. When that idea was first brought to you and your fiance at the time, Matt Barnes, what were your initial thoughts on even stepping into this world?
Well, you know, I was initially extremely excited. You know, the initial show idea was brought to me very positively, very like, you know, we're going to show, you know, the real, what it's really like to be involved in this world, because it is, it's a very different world. It's kind of a, it's, I don't want to sound pretentious, but it's, it has like its own set of rules. It's kind of crazy. So I was excited to show that side because, you know, wives, baby mamas, all of them, like we work hard, you know, especially if there's kids involved. So it, the show initially was supposed to be very positive. Matt, on the other hand, was a little apprehensive, you know, to allow cameras into our world. And, you know, I don't know, maybe because it was, you know, it's just something that just doesn't get a lot of light shed on, you know, the issues or, you know, any, all the daily stuff that we have to go through. So I know he was a little, not scared, but just kind of a little concerned. But I initially was extremely excited.
Gloria, when you talk about reality TV, these are shows that have producers, they have editors. Now, the situation themselves might be real, but a lot of things happen behind the scenes. So whether it's the final product or whether you're actually filming, how much of it is, I guess, how real are these shows? Because, again, produced, edited, and everything like that. So take us behind, in front of the camera. How real is it?
Well, honestly, you know, I always say, like, the drama is very real, you know, but the situations are not extremely produced, but they are thought out, I guess I would say. So, for example, like, if I, you know, didn't like you and they knew that, well, they would set it, you know, they would set it up so that we had interaction, you know what I mean? Because then it would be create the natural drama that came with just not liking somebody. So that's where the setup part comes in. But, you know, initially, like I said, you know, people's opinions and people's reaction to things and, you know, and all of a sudden something, you know, the pendulum will swing. So that kind of stuff is very, very natural. It's just, they really just work hard to, you know, to create the situations that will allow the biggest effect. So it's, you know, It is real. I always say it is real. The situations are just helped and you know, and enhanced because, you know, we don't always get together like that. A lot of us meet each other for the first time or don't know, you know, anybody. So we do have to help schedule things out, you know, and then whatever happens in that situation happens. So I would say like 80% of it is real and 20% of it is produced and edited out. The editing process is a completely different story though. That is a monster in its own. You know, the editing is a beast. There'll be things where I'm like, I didn't say that to her. You know, like I you know, or they'll catch you low in your eyes, and you're like, what? So that kind of stuff is pretty funny. But initially, the show, reality shows itself, I think, you know, are about 80-20.
Glory, this is Derek here, and if I can change the flow of questioning just a little bit of the current host that we have on. I'm the only one that's married and with kids, and I'm just very curious as to how you would handle being a wife and a mother. I know you're a public figure yourself, but certainly your husband is a very public figure, and he's involved in a job that requires a lot of traveling, a lot of time away, and often in dealing with women of, let's just say, low moral standings. As a wife and a mother, how do you handle that part of your life?
Well, you know, I mean, I think you just have to understand what it is going into it. You know, that's always the biggest problem, right? You kind of, at first it's fun and, oh, yay, he gets to travel and we get to travel and how exciting and awesome. And then when you have kids, you're like, oh, damn, you know, the wife is at home majority of the time. And, it's, you know, I think that you just have to, as a wife, as a woman, have to understand and remember, you know, the beginning, you know, knowing that this is what has allowed you, especially for me, like what has, I'm extremely blessed. So I always have to kind of remember this is what allows me and my family to enjoy the luxuries that we have. You know, Matt's on the road 4 months out of the year, and that's very difficult. But I knew what I was getting into when I got into it, you know, and I think people, significant others, just forget that, you know, 6 months down the road, a year, you know, they forget the beginning and what, you know, what they signed up for. So I think just kind of remembering, you know, especially if it's something that requires, you know, a lot of traveling. And at first, maybe you got to do it with them. And now that you have kids or now that maybe your personal career goals have changed, you know, you just have to remember that it was something that you knew what was going on. You know, you knew what was happening, when it was happening, that this is just what it is. So I don't know. I say all that to say, I think my biggest advice is just really, you know, don't forget what you signed up for. You know, at the end of the day, if you knew all the details and you knew what this was going to be about, you know, so you can't really, it's hard to act brand new, you know what I mean? 5 years later, you're like, you know, to have a problem with it. But, so yeah, I continue to remember that. And sometimes I remind myself because I'll be like, well, you get to go to, you know, the Ritz-Carlton and have, you know, hands with room service and he'll watch movies and I have to be at home and then I'll travel with him and it'll be like, woo, never mind. You know, I'll take the home life any day, you know, so sometimes I put myself in his shoes just to remind myself how glamorous it really isn't, you know, so.
Gloria, let's stay right there, but maybe sort of start talking about your transition. So what is the biggest lesson that you think that you learned maybe personally about your experience sort of in the spotlight as you were, but also talk about maybe some of the ways in which you've transitioned out of that spotlight, or I guess maybe into some other ventures.
Yeah, you know, that transition was extremely difficult for me, you know, just because I'm not on Bachelor Wives anymore, and so to kind of leave that, you know, was a very big transition, but it's something that I've enjoyed. I'm really grateful for the platform that Bachelor Wives has given me. You know, it's allowed me to do opportunities like this, and now I have my own cookbook, and, you know, now I can celebrate the grand openings of salons and, you know, visiting sports and stuff like, you know, I mean, bases and stuff like that. So the transition was, it was a little, kind of a bit of a culture shock just because I was so used to what my life had become, you know, kind of in the limelight. Everything I did was put on blast, or everything Matt and I did was, you know, in blogs and that kind of stuff. And so for now, for it to have calmed down a little is really nice. But I think ultimately it'll always be there. You know, that transition hasn't been, you know, so turned off or anything like that. But it's different. You know, every day I'm like, oh, man, you know. And now we actually have our own reality show coming out, Matt and I and our family and my sister and her fiance and stuff. So, you know, I feel like now it's become our career and it's become who we are. So, and we are, like I said, we are very open book. We love to help people. You know, our relationship is not perfect, and I think that's what allows us to, you know, be, to give good advice and that kind of stuff. So the transition is different, you know what I mean? But we're adjusting.
Glory, taking away from reality TV shows, just being the wife of an NBA player, period. And, you know, Matt is one of the more colorful guys in the league, you know. He's a character, kind of fiery temperament on the court. He's got the tats going. And reading about criticism of him, what is that like for you as a wife? Because I know you said, hey, this is what we signed up for. How do you read things about your husband that are not positive, or even just simply like in a bad slump on the court, you're reading about his play? How do you deal with that? Do you still take that, hey, this is what I signed up for? Or do you kind of take it a little bit personal?
No, you know, that's a great question. And those kind of things, you know, seeing anything negative about your, you know, your husband or your family is always very difficult to, you know, to see. Even when people leave comments on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, you know, it's very like, you know, it eats at you a little bit. You know, we are people too. We have feelings and we're emotional and stuff. So it is very difficult, I think, too, because I understand what it is to be judged, you know, to only be on a TV show for, you know, the short amount of time. You know, and then all of a sudden you have fans who think they understand you, who think they know you, who, you know, who become so invested in your life, you know, but in only such a small amount. So it's the same with Matt, you know. He is a beast, and that was very nice of you to put it so nicely. Like, he is a beast on the court, and he is aggressive, and he, you know, is known for his bad boy persona and technical fouls and being thrown out and so on, and all of his tattoos, you know. But he is also, too, he's an amazing father, and he has a foundation, and he's a great, you know, giving person and a fabulous husband. So I just wish that people understood more of that, you know, that Matt leaves who he is on the court. You know, he's not at home and is aggressive and, like, shoulder checking our kids. You know what I mean? Like, he's not, you know, he's not tossing me around like it. So I just wish people understood that that's his job. You know, Matt gets paid to be who he is on the court. And that's why he's been in the league for so long. I mean, he's been in the league for 12 years, you know, which is in itself is such a, you know, something to be celebrated, because that doesn't happen very often. So, you know, I just wish people, like, would really just put, you know, their personal feelings aside and just know that, you know, he is getting paid to do what exactly that, and that is be a beast on the court, you know, and that's what's allowed us to be so, you know, successful in the league.
Glory, let me continue along those lines. You mentioned Facebook and Twitter, and in today's day and age, there is so much more of a close interaction between the fan and the player. You know, we saw it kind of nationally with Brent Grimes and his wife and some comments that she made on local Atlanta radio stations. But how do you deal with that, with your presence on social media and being able to interact or not interact with the fans? How do you deal with the negativity and the positive vibes that come from people who only know you because they saw you on TV or they know your or they've seen your husband play.
Yeah. You know, that's it. I really have grown in that area. You know, before maybe when it was, you know, Instagram was just came out, you know, I would read the comments and I would fire back at people. You know, I would comment back and I, you know, so it was very difficult to deal with again, because, you know, we are human beings and we don't want anybody saying anything negative or coming out of pocket. And it's so crazy because when fans, because you are, you know, so close, you can get now to celebrities so directly. You know, I think people become, you know, very courageous behind the computer and feel like they can just say whatever they want to say. But we don't have the right as a celebrity or the person being attacked to go back at them. You know, that's really frustrating. You know, a lot of people, and Matt is a prime example because Matt will lash out very quickly. And, you know, especially if it's something about his family, especially if it's something that, you know, is close to home. You know, so, and people really get on him about that, you know, like why are you paying attention to these people? And, you know, it's like, no, because that kind of stuff really gets at you, you know, but I, like I said, over the years or over the time, like I have just really gotten good at blocking people and ignoring it and just remembering, you know, that I don't have a clue who these people are. You know, I could be walking past them as I'm typing on my phone, commenting back at them. You know, I don't know who any of them are. I don't know what they look like, you know, that kind of stuff. So I really remember that, like, okay, these are strangers, you know, this is their opinion, you know. And two, on the other side, it's actually pretty, you know, flattering to think like someone is taking the time to comment on your life or taking the time to invest in, you know, following you on Instagram or, you know, commenting or liking your page. So that alone, you know, like they say, you're doing something right when you have haters, you know? So I feel like the more hate, it's just, you know, then that means the better you're doing, you know? So it's situational. Of course, it depends on what kind of, you know, what time of the month it is and, you know, where I'm at in life and, you know, if I'm frustrated, that kind of stuff. So, but it is difficult to do, but I think I'm getting better at it.
Gloria, as we get close to wrapping up our time here, we could not let you come on to our show without talking a tad bit about some hip hop, because this is a sports and hip hop and business type of show. And I do know that via our social media world that when you and Matt got married, you actually walked down the aisle to Tupac's All Eyes on Me.
I sure did. That's awesome.
I think I might know where you're leaning on this, but talk about some of your favorite hip hop artists and maybe some of, past and present, but also some of the current artists who you listen to right now.
It's so funny. You know what's funny is that Matt is a music connoisseur. He is, like, I'm that person. I'll sing, you know, I sing the songs. I don't get any of the words right, you know, but I think I know what I'm saying. Or I'll be like, remember that song? And he's like, no, you know, Matt can always name the song I'm thinking of. But he actually chose all the music at our wedding, which I thought was really cool. I didn't have a clue what I was going to be walking down the aisle to. I didn't have a clue what our first song, you know, was going to be. I really put him in charge of that. He is, you know, I always say if he gets reincarnated, he's going to come back as a DJ or an R&B singer. But, you know, I think that song also just kind of demonstrated how, you know, just fun our relationship is and just, you know, how just nonchalant kind of we are. And we really just wanted to entertain and enjoy what the wedding was. And that was just a celebration of how, you know, of our relationship and the ups and downs and, you know, the milestones. So it was so much fun. I stopped at the top of the aisle. You know, I did a little gangster pose and I was like, all right. And, you know, my dad thought it was hilarious, you know, so, It was pretty funny, and Tupac is one of Matt's all time favorite artists. Like he has read all the books. He has a tattoo of Tupac, you know. So Tupac really plays a part in Matt's life, you know, even till this day.
Gloria, as we get you out of here, we definitely want to give you a chance to let everyone know all of the things that you're involved in, where people can catch you, where they can follow you on social media, and also talk a tad bit about Athletes Versus Cancer.
Oh, sure. So you can definitely catch me. I am very heavy on Instagram and Twitter, and that's at Glow Govan, GLOGOVAN. You can catch Matt at Matt_Barnes9. And you know, we really are, like you said, really, really, really hands-on with our foundation, Athletes Versus Cancer. It's something that's near and dear to both of our hearts. You know, Matt lost his mom of cancer, and both of my parents are actually cancer survivors. So, you know, we do a lot of things with Athletes Versus Cancer. We do free screenings for women, and we give seminars, and we're starting to do, we give scholarships to kids who have lost parents to cancer. So, again, you know, this isn't something that we're just asking people for money because, you know, the sake of it. But we really are, you know, heavily influenced and heavily involved in Athletes Versus Cancer, and every single penny goes to, you know, someone in need because of, you know, this terrible, terrible, terrible situation with cancer. And we really just hope that one day we will find a cure. But we do several different events. And again, you can follow that. It's at Athletes Versus spelled out cancer.org. And, you know, come be involved. We're always doing different events. So we would love to hear what you have to say.
Gloria, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it, and you're welcome back anytime.
Oh, thank you, guys. I had so much fun, and I look forward to speaking to you guys again soon.
Gloria Govan for spending some time with us to talk about the reality of reality TV and the entire lifestyle around that. But as we always do on this show, it's time for Last Call. Last Call for Alcohol or something like it. D, what do you have?
My last call goes out to all of the people that participate in these reality shows, all the wives, all of the Real Housewives, and all the fans that watch these shows, because as much as we like to make fun of them, as much as we talked about that there is some form of production involved in them, there's still a lot of real life that goes on out there. And in terms of sports fans, we do care about that stuff. We do watch this stuff. So thank you for all your participation, for all your realism, and let's have more of that.
Ron, last call for alcohol or something like it, man. What do you have?
I want to give a shout out to the players' moms, who D also are entertaining. Ray Allen's mom with the bedazzled jersey. Allen Iverson's mom with her big sign that she hit on right in front of the basket, letting everyone know she was his mother. JaVale McGee's mom, who was just JaVale McGee's mom and actually has her own show, She Got Game. So whether it's the wives, whether it's the mothers, you're going to thank the women in the lives of these pro athletes who keep things so interesting, so entertaining. Floyd, send us home.
As usual, you can always find the Section 357 show on Twitter at Section 357. You can listen to and subscribe to the show on Stitcher, on Podomatic, as well as iTunes. And with that being said, good luck to you and your favorite teams out there wherever you might be. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. Until next time, take care.